Thank you, guys. Aren't they awesome? Our praise team, I tell you, we are so blessed. Hear a lot of performances, but you rarely hear true, pure worship, and I believe that's after the heart of God. If you have your Bibles, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 again. I wasn't scheduled to preach today, but Pastor called me and asked me to continue, so I'm going to continue. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. I mean, love Jesus. Amen. Best thing that's ever happened to me. Can you say that? Yes. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I want to kind of continue along this vein, more in line with spiritual warfare today. Years ago, I was preaching on spiritual warfare, and a man came to me, and he didn't like that very much, you know. I think all of us want, and me included, I want to live a life where nobody's bothering me and I'm not going to bother anybody else, right? But the fact of it is, there is a devil and he hates your guts. Yeah, he does. The Bible says he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said that, and if he said that, it's the truth. Whether you realize it or not, I don't care who you are in this place today, Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy things in your life. But praise God, you have authority in Jesus' name. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are not fleshly, but they are mighty, mighty, mighty in God. I want you to know that our warfare is not an even match. Satan is already defeated. Jesus defeated him on the cross, praise God. We call him God Almighty, right? The God that we serve, he is almighty, has all power. But the reality in our life is that we forget about the God that we serve and what he has given us. And the devil, his chief weapon that he uses in people's lives is deception and lies. If he can make you believe that you're a nobody, if he can make you believe that you are powerless, then he's got the upper hand. But I want you to know the Word of God says otherwise. Go with me to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. The story of Jericho. A great, great, great story of warfare. Verse 1. Now Jericho was securely shut up. Because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Ooh, hallelujah, right? Awesome. He says, Jericho was securely shut up. In other words, that you're not coming in, you're not going out. The walls are too thick, the gates are too big. And I could go into all the archaeology. I studied all this week. It was an incredible thing that was built. But as I was studying that, I kind of heard in my spirit, you ever hear an LP, a vinyl record, and the needle on that thing, and you scrape it across, go zip? I kind of heard that in my spirit. The Lord says, go to chapter 5. Because it's great. Chapter 6, great, the warfare, we have victory and all of that, and there's lessons to be learned there. But there is also a preparation. And I just can't emphasize here enough, whether you realize it or not, you are in warfare. It has certainly been declared over you. Okay? Sometimes it comes to you directly. Sometimes it's through family, in a marriage, work. But I want to tell you something. There is a warfare. So chapter 5 of Joshua, verse 1. So it was when all the kings of the Amorites who were on the west side of the Jordan, all the kings of the Canaanites who were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of the Jordan from before the children of Israel until we had crossed over, that their heart melted, and there was no spirit in them any longer because of the children of Israel. I mean, that's pretty afraid, right? At that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives for yourselves and circumcise the sons of Israel again the second time. So Joshua made flint knives for himself and circumcised the sons of Israel at the hill of the foreskins. And this is the reason why Joshua circumcised them. All the people who came up out of Egypt who were males, all the men of war had died in the wilderness on the way after they had come out of Egypt. For all the people who had came out had been circumcised, but all the people born in the wilderness on the way as they came out of Egypt had not been circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people who were men of war who came out of Egypt were consumed because they did not obey the voice of the Lord, to whom the Lord swore that he would not show them the land which the Lord had sworn to their fathers, that he would give us a land flowing with milk and honey. Then Joshua circumcised their sons whom he raised up in their place, for they were uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So it was when they had finished circumcising all the people that they stayed in their places in the camp till they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Now I want to back up a little bit. Let's go over some of this. So the enemies all around had heard what God had done for the children of Israel, how he had caused the Jordan River. The Bible said it stood up as a heap. It was like 6 miles away in the city of Adam. And all the Israelites were probably 2 to 3 million. I don't know the exact amount, but there were a lot of Israelites crossed over that river. And I can go into detail there, but that, what a great miracle, right? If I was the enemy and I heard about that, I would think, whoo, man, oh, man, I'm messing with these people. Their God just caused the Jordan to heap up like a wall, and they crossed over. And the Bible says they had no more spirit in them. They were so afraid. And you would think at that time God would say, okay, go in right now. Let's go take Jericho. It's yours, but we're not there yet. What does God say the first thing to do? Get a knife. Make you a knife. And circumcised all the males. And then we'll see what comes up later. And so I'm imagining that the men, they're thinking, my goodness, this is not a time to be doing that. We are in the promised land right now. There is Jericho very close near. And what if they start coming up out of the city and attack us, and we are here and we are hurting because we have been circumcised? This is not a good time. How many know God's ways are different than our ways? Our ways was like, okay, man, they're afraid of us. Let's go. Yeah. God says, no, get out the knife, start circumcising the men. God's way is not our way. I want you to remember this phrase, that the battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. If it belongs to the Lord, we do it the Lord's way and not our way. I'll be honest, I have gone into spiritual warfare in the past, and I'm casting down and binding up and all this kind of stuff, and all I did was just make myself tired. I'm sorry. I hope I didn't offend anybody here today, but the battle is the Lord's, and we do it His way. So the first thing we have to understand is there has to be a circumcision, a putting away of the flesh. If I am going to go into warfare, I can't bring my flesh with me. Amen. Gilgal, verse 9, says clearly, this is what Gilgal means, to roll away the reproach of Egypt. Egypt represents that the past, the sin, the flesh, dependence on self, not godly. Let's go with me to Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Colossians 2, verse 11. In him, in Christ, you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped away the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Praise God. How many know you can be a Christian and still be fleshy? Come on now. If you're a person that gets easily offended, you're fleshy. If you're a person that is prideful and think you're somebody, you're fleshy. Come on, we just go on and on. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean all that flesh is gone yet. We need to continually come to the cross and let the Lord deal with our flesh. Galatians chapter 5, go with me. Verse 16. So I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. That's kind of an odd statement, isn't it? You do not do the things that you wish. As a born-again believer, God has placed his desire in you. There is a desire, if you are truly born again, there is a desire for holiness. There is a desire for righteousness. And yet at the same time, there is a dealing with flesh. Until we get to heaven, we'll always deal. If you don't believe me, just go out there and drive and let somebody cut you off and see what you feel. Amen? Yeah. So we'll always be dealing with that. But as we walk in the Spirit, as we continually give ourselves over to the Spirit of God, he will help us. It says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Well, we could just spend a lot of time on each one of these, right? And we may say, I don't do none of this stuff, but maybe you watch some other people do that on TV. Amen. Okay, thank you. Verse 2, Lord help him. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions. I've seen Christians that just absolutely hate other people. Well, they call themselves Christians. I don't know. God knows. Contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. There has to be a circumcision. And that circumcision, I believe, is daily. I believe this word right here is the sword. It's the sword. As someone says, we don't read the Bible reads you, right? It is a sword that begins to tear off the flesh, and we begin to deal with it and bring it to the cross. Say, Lord, sometimes we don't realize what's there until we get into the Word. And the Lord begins to deal with us, and as we repent and go before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me of that, Lord. Let that be off of me in Jesus' name. These things will begin to drop off of us. But I want you to understand, if you try to go into spiritual warfare and you got flesh, Let's remember the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts. Remember this story? They saw, I don't know which apostles it was, and it just now came to my mind, so they saw the apostles casting out demons, and they thought, okay, we can do that ourselves. They didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and so they went, and they tried to cast demons out of a certain person, and what did the Bible say? The demons jumped off of that person and got onto them. Because Satan loves the flesh. That's his power food, if you will. There's flesh there. He loves it. And church, before we go into spiritual warfare, and I want to tell you something. There are sons and daughters here that need to be saved. There are husbands. There are parents that need to be saved. And we need to be going into warfare concerning them. But we better watch out for our own house. Talking about this flesh. Need to be circumcised if we want to be successful. And so we need to be circumcised. Let's go back to our story in Joshua chapter 5. Understand, before there is a victory in Jericho, there has to be a Gilgal experience. Verse 9 again, then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Therefore the name of the place is called Gilgal to this day. Verse 10, now the children of Israel camped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at twilight on the plains of Jericho. Now I want to stop there. This is, if you will, the second step in preparation for warfare. You've got to remember what Christ has done for you on the cross and celebrate that. The children of Israel had evidently during the 40 years had stopped celebrating the Passover, and now God says, before you go into the promised land, you need to remember what I did for you back in Egypt, how when I sent the death angel and I told you to kill the lamb and to put the blood on the doorposts of your house, that when I saw the blood, I would pass over you. I want you to remember that, because that, what that does for us, it points to the Lord Jesus Christ. When John saw Jesus, he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sins of the world. He is the true Passover Lamb. Hallelujah. And until his blood is surely applied to your heart and to your mind, there can be no victory. Amen. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Go with me there if you would. Then I heard a loud voice. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. I think one of the things that we war in is the accusation. You ever... maybe just told yourself, man, I'm just a failure. I'm not getting it. I'm just a failure. I just can't get it right. Sometimes we say it's the devil, it may be. Sometimes we tell ourselves it's the accuser of the brethren. But here's how we overcome. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. We overcome because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Brother, when I'm in a battle, I always go back. I picture the cross, Jesus hanging on the cross, and the blood is being spilt on the ground, his precious blood. And he says at the end, it is finished. Hallelujah. When he says it is finished, brother, there's my salvation. There's my victory. There's my authority. There's my power over the enemy because of what Jesus Christ did at the cross. Hallelujah. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, not by our wit, not by our own conniving, but by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we love not our life unto death. The word of our testimony. Well, let's go back to Joshua again. Joshua chapter 5, verse 11. And they ate of the produce of the land on that day after the Passover, unleavened bread and parched grain on the very same day. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land, and the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year. I believe God is a very specific and orderly God. I really believe here he is giving steps to win your Jericho, okay? I believe it is, there has to be a circumcision of the flesh. There has to be a realization, a celebration of what Christ did on the cross. And there has to be a continual eating of the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. I believe this produce of the ground that they ate, that sustained them, is the word of the Lord. For Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. Every word. I live today by every word that comes from God. My joy comes today by every word that comes from God. My peace comes today by every word that comes from God. My anger comes from every word that I hear the news bring out. Come on. My peace leaves me when I hear some people talk. Hallelujah, but my joy, my peace, my victory, my nourishment comes from the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If I'm going to be victorious in warfare, I've got to get this word in me. I've got to continually eat this word, praise God. For it is the truth. It will sustain, it will feed you, it will strengthen you. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we go back to Revelation chapter 12, 11. And they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. My testimony is this. Everything Jesus has done for me in this word, everything he has said about me, this is what I believe. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go down to verse 13. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? I think I would ask the same question. If somebody's got a sword drawn, yeah. So he said, no, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, what does my Lord say to his servant? I believe this is so key in our daily walk, in our warfare, continually asking God, what are you saying to me today? What are you saying to me about this situation? I got my own ideas and my own thoughts, but Lord, I really want to know what your thought is. I really want to know what you're saying because I've messed up things so many times. I was thinking about the other day, how many regrets I have. You ever think about that? I wish I could go back in a time machine and like correct some things that I've done and said. When I should have said, I should have been patient. Said, Lord, what are you saying? What are you doing? That's what I want to say and that's what I want to do. Verse 15, then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. I believe this is the fourth thing in preparation for warfare. He The Lord instructed him, take off your sandal from your foot, for the place you stand is holy. Now, I believe there's two things here. I believe, first of all, when he says this is holy, I believe there is a reverence, that we are to have a reverence, a fear, and an awe of God. Here's the thing. We're either going to have a fear, a reverence, and awe of God, or we're going to have a fear and a reverence of all that we're fighting against. You're going to respect one or the other. And where your mind goes is what you're respecting more. What you're continually thinking about is what you're respecting more. If you're thinking about your problem, how big your mountain is, or how big your Jericho wall is, you have more respect for that than God, when you should be thinking about how big and how great and how faithful and how loving he is. Amen? Hallelujah. He should always be upon your mind that he is the Almighty God. He cannot fail. He cannot fail. Praise God. Hallelujah. I look in this Bible that how he parted the Red Sea, how he made water come out of a rock, how he defeated giants. Hallelujah. That's the God that I serve. So why should I give fear, respect, and awe over my problem than God? Hallelujah. But here's the other thing. He took his shoe off. And I believe that represents the relinquishing of claims to ownership of authority. And saying, Lord, I'll go your way and not my way. You know, in Ephesians chapter 6, the weapons or the armor of God, there is part of the weapons is the gospel shoes of peace. And I believe you can't put on his shoes until you take your shoes off. Amen. Your self-will, and I'm going to do things my way, and I'm going to go wherever I want to go. Brother, you got to stop that. Take off your shoe. Hallelujah. This is holy ground. God is holy. We are in the midst of a promised land, if you will, spiritually. This is God's land. It's his battle. It's not my battle. All I've got to do is say, Lord, I'm hearing, Lord. Help me to hear. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. And the victory will be mine. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. How many have heard that scripture over and over and over again? Probably haven't memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Here's the thing. We can get so callous to the Word of God. We can overlook some things. We are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. There are some things in my life that it's easy for me to trust in the Lord with. There are other things, I'll be honest, I have a little trouble, and God's helping me. One is finances. Man, when the finances start drying up, it's like, oh, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, God? Oh, Lord, God, help me, Lord. And you start to have this imagination, oh, my goodness, I'm going to get kicked out of my house. I'm going to have to get in a soup line. Or, you know, I mean, your mind can go all out into the gutter when you're in fear, right? But when you trust in the Lord with all your might, I mean, with all your heart, hallelujah, that means all your heart, everything I'm trusting the Lord with, he cannot fail me, praise God. That's why Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. I've got it taken care of. You're my child, praise God. If you really believe that God loves you, then you will believe he will take care of you one way or the other. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. How many thinkers do we have in this place? Man, I got to think through it all, A through Z. I got to have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D. I got to have it all. I think, well, David probably gets it more from his mom because she was that way. But you said this from the pulpit, so you know. It's God's way. It's God's way. The battle's not mine. The battle is the Lord's. You may think right now the battle is yours because you're feeling the heat of it, but it's not yours. Amen. Hallelujah. You may feel like you've been thrown into the fiery furnace, but guess what? There's a fourth man in the fire with you. Praise God. Hallelujah. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. The battle's not yours. You need to keep saying that. The battle's not mine. It's not mine. It's the Lord's. All I've got to do is obey the general. He's the general. I'm just a private. Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I'm marching that way. I'm putting on my gospel shoes of peace. Amen. I'm taking up the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. And I will walk victoriously. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. This is so hard for us because God don't think like we think. He doesn't think like you think. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Now, I'm a very simple man, so there's some things I have to underline in my mind. And he shall, he didn't say he may be, he at some times might direct my path. He shall direct your path. So if I will acknowledge God in everything, hallelujah, that he is my Savior, that he is my God, that he is my King, that he is my General. I'm his private, if you want to say it that way. Hallelujah. If I'm acknowledging him, he promises me that he will direct my paths. You ever prayed, God, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. One of the things that the Lord calls himself is our shepherd, right? The Lord is our shepherd. He is the good shepherd. One of the jobs of a shepherd is to guide his sheep. That when they are a sheep are in a pasture and they eat up that pasture, he will lead them to a fresh pasture, or he will lead them to waters, fresh water. He is a good shepherd. Jesus is a good shepherd. He will lead you and he will lead me. So here's the thing: when we're in warfare, and every one of us are in warfare. You may not believe that today, but I assure you, you have an enemy, and he's trying to steal from you today. It may be just your future. It may be just to distract you, to get you to go on a wrong path, and you're wasting time, and you're not doing all that God wants you to do, and somebody's missing out because you're not in the place that you should be to help them. God help us, amen. We are victorious in Jesus Christ. Our Jericho walls will come down. Boy, I want to preach that. Our Jericho walls will come down, praise God. But there has to be a preparation before there. There has to be a Gilgal. There has to be a remembering of the Passover lamb, what Jesus Christ has done for you and I. There has to be remembrance of his word, and eat of his word daily. Let it nourish you. And there has to be taking off your shoes. Bring your fear and your awe and your reverence to God Almighty and not your problems, and go the way that he tells you to go. Amen. Last few verses I want to read. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 and 2 again. Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children. None went out and none came in. Can I tell you, that is a hopeless, impossible situation. You may have that in your life right now. There is a hopeless, impossible situation in your life. It's securely shut up. And it may have been like that for a long time. But I really believe God's given me a word that the walls are going to come down. But you got to go back to chapter 5, okay? And then once you go back there and take care of all of that, then you come up. And just obey what God tells you to do. And though it may seem foolish, because what they did, what God told them to do, march around the city every day for 6 days, just around the city, go back home. What a battle plan. It's like, hey, why don't y'all go and start sharpening up your swords and your arrows and get your bazookas out and, you know, start doing some target practicing and all that. No, walk around the city. Well, praise God, I don't want to get too far. 1 Samuel chapter 17, 47. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. Say that with me. For the battle is the Lord's. That was weak. Sorry. Again. 1, 2, 3. For the battle is the Lord's. It's not mine. It's not yours. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword spirit. That's why God does the way he does things, because people are watching it, and it is a testimony to others. They'll say, there is no way you got through that. There is no way you got victory over that. That had to be God. And he will give you into our hands. You know who said that? David. To Goliath. As he was facing an impossible situation. Because David knew what it was to be broken, a worshiper, one who feared God. Last verse, James chapter 4, verse 7. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he might run away from you. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will. He will. He will. He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse you hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts. Circumcise, if you will. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. First thing, what does he say? Submit to God. Submit to God. He didn't say, first thing you need to do, resist the devil. Go out there and fight. First thing, submit to God. Submit to his way. Humble yourself before him. Let him be your fear. Let him be your respect and your awe, and not your Jericho. Resist the devil, and he will run with his tail behind him like a whip dog. That's my version of it. Amen. He's already defeated, church. You know, it's really like this. We're deputized. We're the deputies, right? We have authority. We got a Holy Ghost badge right here. I'm deputy from the Most High God. I have authority in Jesus' name. It's not my authority. It's the Lord's authority. I'm just doing what he tells me to do. I'm just doing what the sheriff said to do. Amen. He's in charge. I am his, and I'm just taking the authority that has been given to me in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. 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 There's some battles going on, but I'm telling you, the victory's already won in Jesus' name. I'm here to tell you, this is not, it's not God versus the devil. The devil's already defeated. Hallelujah. God is God Almighty. He is your God. Hallelujah. He is to be your fear. He is to be respected and honored above all things right now. If you're in worry, if you are concerned about tomorrow, you have more fear for that than you do God. Man, I know that's a hard saying, but it's the truth. It's the truth. Looking unto Jesus, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. And so it don't matter how big your Jericho is. It doesn't matter how many times your enemy taunts you and says, it can't happen. He's a liar. He's defeated. We're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. We're an overcomer. You're an overcomer in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to take their authority in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. There's some things that need to come down, and they will come down. It's not a maybe thing. The Bible says, submit unto God. First thing right here this morning. Can we do that? Lord, I submit to you. I surrender to you, Lord. I lay aside every plan that I've had. I lay aside my worries, my fears, my doubts. I lay aside even my anger. Oh, God, and I look to you. My all will be of you, of your greatness, and of your faithfulness. For I know, Lord, you change not. The thing that seems impossible with me is possible with you, Lord. And so in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray, let the people know their authority this morning like they've never known it before. And Father, if there is any flesh in us that needs to be dealt with, I pray as only you can do, as only the Holy Spirit can reveal to each heart what that is. Lord, we lay ourselves open before you. Lord, just begin to deal with us even right now. We just pray that to yourself. Let the Lord deal with you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that you are my Passover lamb. And I only have what I have today is because of what you did at the cross. Hey, Lord, oh Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Walls are coming down. In the name of Jesus, 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 in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. That person you thought got so closed off, they got walls around them like the walls of Jericho. I want you to know God put you in their life. You hear me? God put you in their life. It's not your battle. Just remember that. But you are to pray and constantly bring them up before God in Jesus' name. Hey, Lord, hey, Lord. I'm reminded when Peter was in jail and the church got together and prayed that he might be released from that jail. It was an impossible situation. But right in their prayer meeting, God heard that. And God delivered Peter out of that jail. Not only that, Peter went to their prayer meeting. Hallelujah, he's still the same God. He's still the same God. He says, I've come to seek and to save those that are lost. I've come to destroy the devil's work, he said. That's why he's here. He's come to set the captives free in Jesus' name. As they sing whatever they're going to sing, I just want you to just begin to submit yourself to the Lord. And as Joshua said to the Lord, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I am your servant. Would you do that? Thank you. Hallelujah. Because he overcame, we overcome. Amen.